Hello again, listeners. Welcome to Jamie O's Pod Space. I'm coming to you live again with another powerful message from God given to me to you. It's kind of late over this way, but I really wanted to get this episode posted. And the topic for today is called Fleshly Desires. And this is a really good topic, you know, because God has a lot to say about it. So if you guys would just have a word of prayer really quickly before we get into the word. Gracious Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you send your Holy Spirit to speak through me as I deliver this message. Father, I thank you for the messages and the words that you have to help us to live a life that is pleasing to you, Father God. I pray that the people that are listening to this, Lord, that even if they're not a believer, even if they're not, Father, but that they would take some of this message, God, and that they would still apply it to their lives, Lord. Because you said that, how do people know the message unless people haven't told them? We don't know the message unless it's been preached to us. So I pray that you continue, use me as a vessel for the people to hear, Father. I thank you so much for the many types of avenues and technology and ways of communication right now today, Father. I thank you and I praise you for this message. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, guys, so I want to go to where we're going to go. I'm going to try. I noticed that I like turned the pages really loud. And I told myself before I posted the episode earlier, I told myself that I was going to try not to do that because I know that's kind of distracting and rude. And yeah, I love you guys and I don't want you guys to have to experience that. Okay, so I'm going to try my best to not, you know, run through it. I have the scripture written down. It's just getting there, you know, but there is nothing like reading from an actual Bible. I don't care how much technology, how much text messaging apps or whatever, there is nothing like reading from an actual book. It's just very therapeutic. Okay, so the first scripture that we're going to get into is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you, verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. Verse 3, for you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Okay, so basically this scripture is what I really want to focus on is where, okay, so carnal really just means fleshly. It means fleshly, not like like just walking in our flesh, basically yielding to our desires that we, our evil desires that we have in our heart, yielding to our feelings, you know, our emotions, that would be considered as carnal and fleshly. And the spirit is the opposite of that. The spirit is walking in the spirit or being led by the spirit is the opposite of that. So you are being led by what the word of God is saying, what God is telling us in our word to do. He's telling us to do the opposite. And I'm jumping ahead of myself, but I'm going to get to that. But but right now I want to go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to be spending a little bit of time in Romans chapter 8. Quick praise, though. I don't know if I shared this or not, but a young gentleman that was homeless about a month ago, he was looking for a job, and he couldn't find a job because he couldn't stop smoking weed, and he wanted to, but he couldn't stop. So I remember I prayed for him because he has two children. And I said, Lord, I pray that you deliver this gentleman from smoking weed at least long enough so that he can drop and be clean to get a job. And then, Lord, once he does get the job, Lord, I pray that you help keep him sober from that. And I ran into him sometime earlier this week, and he got a job at Bigby Coffee. And he started, I think he said this past Wednesday. Yeah, so glory to God. God is good. Like when we pray to God and we sincerely believe in his power, he starts working. Like I said in the previous episode, God is working constantly on our behalf. When we pray to God, sincerely pray to him, he hears everything. And some things he works out immediately, and some things he works out in his time. But through that, we have to be patient, and that is hard, but it's not impossible, because all things are possible with God, okay? Not with men, but with God. So I just pray that he continues to stay sober and keep his job. And yeah, so okay, so we're going to be in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, and chapter 8 is for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son, Jesus Christ, in the likeness of sinful flesh, basically saying the likeness as in being for us, on account of sin. He condemned, he killed. That's what condemned means. He's killed, crucified sin in his flesh. Verse 4, and verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. Now, this is where I was getting into just a while ago. Verse 5 says, for those who live according to the spirit, I mean, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Basically, enmity is like against God. They don't go together. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Verse 8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God lives in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. Verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead. The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Okay, I just want to stop there, because it's still talking about the same thing, but it's going on to talk about, if we have the spirit. I just want to focus on verses 3 through 6, 3 through 7. I'm sorry. So basically, we see here that the flesh and that the spirit is against each other. That is the reason why we cannot please God if we're walking in the flesh, because the spirit is against the flesh, and the flesh will reap what it says is going to reap, death. If Jesus came to the world to die for our sins in the flesh, he suffered a gruesome, painful death for us so that he can do away with sin once and for all, so that we can live in the spirit and be guiltless. So when we walk in the flesh and we start yielding to the things of the flesh, after we've already received the enlightenment of God, and after we've already have this Holy Spirit in us, then basically we're crucifying Jesus all over again. We're crucifying that, and it's just we put Jesus in an open shame because he has to do that again for us. But it's still available, nevertheless, numerous amounts of time, because remember what I said earlier, the mercy, God's mercy endures forever. The more we ask God for forgiveness, the more he will forgive us, okay? But sometimes people use that as a cloak for vice. They use that and they say, oh, I've been saved. I know I'm going to heaven, and that's all I care about. So now I'm just going to go and, you know, smoke weed. Now I'm just going to go party. Now I'm just going to go do all these things. And it's just like, it doesn't stop there. Once you give your life to Christ, you have to make an effort of that. Somebody told me this a while ago. I can't remember where. They said that Christianity is not about perfection. Christianity is about progression. So once you start making that change, and you start to choose every day that I want to walk in the Spirit, not in my flesh, because God gives us the choice. Even after we receive Jesus, even if we come to God, we still every moment of the day, we still have to choose God. We still have to choose the right way over our flesh. It's very important to read the word, read a scripture, read a verse, read something each and every day so that we can stay filled up on the word of God. And this is something I struggle with. You know, I've been struggling. I struggle, you know, with my flesh. I wrestle with my flesh every day, all the time. Just my sinful thoughts, you know, things that I shouldn't think about, I think about. Certain things that, you know, people have done to me, the offenses, I haven't, like, fully forgiven them. And it hurts me. It hurts me because it's like, Lord, I know at that time I made the right decision. But now, you know, sometimes I catch myself thinking about the opposite. I catch myself thinking about something that I wanted to say or I wanted to do that pleased my flesh. So don't think that it stops there. We still have to make a choice every single day to please God. And I hadn't forgiven someone, you know, that I really cared about, and I was really butthurt over it. And you know, I just had to keep asking God for forgiveness. I had to just keep saying, Lord, forgive me. I'm angry. I'm really hurt by this. It's eating me up. It's eating up my flesh. It's eating me up inside. It's eating up, you know, torturing me in my brain. And I had to cast down that, because that is not from God. That is not from myself. That is from the enemy that is trying to continue to put that in my head so that I can, you know, feel guilty and just be upset and all the time. So I had to really give that to God, you know. But it's a struggle. It's like, if you've ever struggled with pornography, if you ever struggled with watching the wrong thing, stealing, whatever it is that you, whatever sin that you have, whatever pleasure that you delight in, if it's not reaping the joy of God, then it is of the world. Okay, so I'm not saying this to judge anyone. I'm just saying what, trying to break down and being transparent, what I feel and what I know from what the word is saying, what the flesh versus the spirit is. But there is still hope. We still haven't got there yet. God said that it's word that we won't be perfect until the day that Christ Jesus returns. When Jesus returns, then we'll be made perfectly. We'll be transformed. And, you know, we'll be perfect. So, let's go to Romans 13, chapter 13, verse 13 through 14. Wait. Okay, so I want to go back to chapter 8, verse 14 and 15, because this is good right here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Okay, that's... Yeah, so that's basically it. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That is the mark of a true converted Christian. I mean, we're Christians, but then there's like levels to it too. You know, like myself, I would be considered as a babe. I would be considered as a babe because, I mean, I'm just, like I said, I haven't conquered, you know, my flesh. I've conquered my flesh because God says that we are more than overcomers. Like, we are already got the victory through him. He is our strength. He is the one that helps us in all of our weaknesses. He's the one that's kept me from this point on. From right now, I'm just saying I'm sinning because of the things that I delight in, the shows that I watch, the thoughts that I have, the so many things that I entertain and I shouldn't. So, yeah, I would be considered a babe, but glory to God, because God says he looks at all of us as one. He doesn't look at us at different levels. He looks at us all as one, as a church, you know? So, yeah, let's go to Romans 13 through 14. Oh, man, it's already 16 minutes. I didn't know it was that long. Okay, I'm getting somewhere, guys. And then we're going to read a few scriptures. Romans 13:13-14. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no providing for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So that is really good. It basically says that that God, we have to put on the Lord Jesus. We have to put on Jesus's death. When we think about all the suffering that Jesus suffered on the cross, we should have took Jesus's place, but he took it for us. He sacrificed himself for us. So when we think about that, our bodies should be as living sacrifices to God, that's holy and acceptable in his sight. Like, we the ultimate goal of Christianity is to be holy, is to be perfect and, you know, like Jesus. But that is going to take time to do that, because we know that Jesus was God and he was human. We are human, but we have the help of the Holy Spirit to help us to be more godly like Jesus. So once we choose to put on Jesus and to die to our flesh and to ignore the desires of our heart and our flesh, then we are truly walking in the Spirit and we are putting on Jesus. Okay, Colossians 3:5 says, therefore, put to death whatever is worldly in you, sexual sin, perversion, passion, lust, and greed. Okay. And then it says, in 1 John 5:18, it says, whoever is born of God does not practice sin, but he that is born of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. When we keep ourselves, when we try to make an effort to walk in God, in God's way and instead of our own, we are keeping ourselves for God, because God says that our bodies, that in general, like in general, we are supposed to be a living sacrifice. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit that's in us. So we are sacred to God. When we defile ourselves, when we think and go against God, we're saying, Lord, I'm choosing the world over you, Lord. I'm choosing death instead of life. You know, so we have to choose every day to try to do the right thing just for that. All right, so a couple of other scriptures that I have. Um, Luke 12:15 says, "And he said to them, take instruction and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." So when we desire, that's even one of the commandments. It says that when we desire our neighbor's belongings, when we desire things that aren't God, that aren't in the kingdom of God, then that is walking in the flesh. That is walking in the flesh. And it just, you know, it just plants a seed. And it's a scripture in there that says that, like, you know, when you plant a seed, and God prunes us some more. God prunes us and helps us to grow more and become ultimately more perfect. And that is life, my friend. There is no definite. That is life. So we have to, and the things of this world are you know, they're passing away. It's worthless in the kingdom. You know, God is going to give us crowns with beryl and diamonds and gems. You know, he's going to give us like the most expensive jewelry when we get to heaven. He's going to give us so many things. The things that we want in this world, it doesn't even compare to the things that we're going to get when we get to heaven, brothers and sisters. I promise you. I trust that God is going to do that, and he's faithful in that. And another thing is, we see so many stories in the Word about how they chose their flesh. Like, we think of Cain and Abel. We think of Cain and Abel, and we think of Jacob and Esau, and, you know, how they just let their flesh get in the way of the promise. They let their flesh win over them instead of choosing God, you know. And it's so many stories, and that's just an example for us to let us know that, you know, they're human like we are, but it helps us to live by learning from their mistakes. God knew that. God knew that. He said, every sin, every temptation that you will ever have on earth, I've experienced it, and I still have overcame, and I'm giving you the power to overcome because I am faithful and because I love you. He experienced all of it. Then in another scripture, he says, what does he say? He says something like, in your sins, you have not resisted to the point of death. And he said, have you forgot the calling that I have for you as sons? So God is basically saying that regardless of all the suffering that we experience, that nothing can compare to the amount of pain and suffering that he experienced when he was on Calvary. The pain, the grief, the stress, even up leading up until his death, you know, he prayed to God that this would pass away from him. You know, he knew that this was the will that God had for him, but he was so distressed that blood came out of his pores. And that is an actual condition. He was so stressed out and so, you know, and exasperated because he knew that his hour was coming for his death. I can't imagine what it must have felt like to know that I'm getting ready to die. I'm taking on the sins of not just, you know, the people in Jerusalem, but in the whole entire world, humanity in itself. You know, God took on all of that. And then when he actually was on the cross, he prayed out to God in agony. Because remember, Jesus was man and God. He cried out to God in agony, and he said, Father, why have you abandoned me? We know that God really didn't abandon him, but that was the fleshly part of his body that was telling him that because of the pain, the emotional pain that he was feeling
at that moment, he couldn't see God because his pain was so, it was so great, but God was still there. Jesus was still obedient. He was still willing to die and surrender his life for us as a living sacrifice. And that is the first time in scripture ever in Jesus' ministry where he actually said, God, why have you abandoned me? But that had to have been taking place just so we can be reunited with God. Just so we can be in heaven with him once and for all. So if that's any encouragement to you guys, just know that the battle is continues. You know, the battle never ends. We are not going to meet the mark all the time. We're not going to make it all the time. But with God's help, we can progress. We can make small changes to get there. We can choose good over evil. God gives us that. He gives us that choice. That's why Satan can't stand us, because he knows that God loves us so much, and the only way that he can get to God is to hurt us. We are the seed of Abraham and of Jesus. God loves us so much that he's giving us free will to choose right from wrong, brothers and sisters. After all that Jesus has done for us on the cross, choose to walk in the Spirit. Even if you're not a believer, choose to do the right thing over the wrong thing. Okay? Choose to help others. Choose to forgive others. Forgive, that's another thing. If you're not a believer, just choose to forgive others and to love on others. The ones that mistreat you and that talks about you and doesn't like you, choose them type of words. Choose loving words. Feed, God says to feed our enemies. To bless those that persecute you. Bless and do not curse. It is hard sometimes, but it's not impossible. All it takes is just that one word. All it takes is just that one phone call, that one smile that actually makes somebody's day.
Okay, God, I want to end this on Ephesians 3:16. I'm gonna make a part two to this too, but for right now, I think this is a great start, because there's another whole spectrum to fleshly desires and overcoming it that I want to cover too. But for right now, like I said, I want to end it on this. It says that according to his riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may live in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So this is saying, like, even though, you know, we're suffering, even though God is helping us, like, we are not by ourselves. God is helping us each and every step of the way. You know, he says that he says in his word, he said, for it is by grace that you have been saved, and not any works of yourselves, nothing that you may boast, but it is by my grace and my mercy. So if he gives us all of these gifts to help us, to give the Holy Spirit,
mean it and believe in all your heart that he can help you in that situation. And if he doesn't, you know, if I'm lying, I'm flying. that's the old saying, if you're lying, you're flying, you know, but he is faithful. If you believe, he will. Okay. Prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that the message, fleshly desires, that overcoming the fleshly desires, Father, I pray that it is touching other people that are hearing this, Lord. I pray that the people that would take something out of it this week, Father, and that they would choose to walk in the Spirit instead of their flesh, Father God. Even if they are not believers, but just to choose good over evil, because good always wins in the end. You have given us precious life, abundant life. You've given us the free will to choose what we want to follow, what we don't want to follow, Father God. I pray for each and every one that hears this message, God, that they will be strengthened in their heart to overcome their flesh. Lord, you know how hard it is for us because we've been programmed and it goes against our nature of the things that we feel. But you said that, take heart, for I have overcome the world. You said, for your strength is made perfect in weakness, and you are more than able and mighty to make us stand. Pray that more and more people would want to hear this message, Father, and that they would be touched by your words, Lord. I pray that they would get the strength to want to search the scriptures themselves and find out just how mighty you are, Lord. Like I said, Cain and Abel, and with his brothers and how he fled, how he was alone, and the hatred that his brother felt against him all those years, God. That is choosing them over his flesh. Choosing his flesh over you, Lord. There's so many examples of the Bible, and I pray that the second half of this, God, that I would be able to touch more on that. And I thank you, and I pray for this message.
Pray, amen.